The live episode. Oh, wait a minute. I think no, we're on live. We're live now.
Tricky.
Well,
tricky.
Welcome everybody to episode number 12 of the Screaming Boy podcast. Listen, I have been low in energy today, so I had an energy drink, and I am like unnaturally nervous right now because I drank that stupid thing and I need help. So I may be a little weird tonight. But episode number 12 of Screaming Boy Podcast. Merry Christmas to everybody out there. Merry Christmas to our two fellow Screaming Boy contributors on here. Jesse Starcher, Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you. You too.
And Merry Christmas to the Invisible Man himself, Justin.
Hey, Merry Christmas!
So we have not stopped. We will never stop. We took some time off there because of Thanksgiving and just life schedules got to be a little much. But we are back and we are badder than ever. That was stupid. I'm sorry, but we're going to we're here talking about anything this month that has to do with Christmas, and mainly that's going to be gift ideas. We obviously all three know that there's more to Christmas than just gifts and carrying on and stuff like that. It's time with family. It is the birth of our Savior. It is everything. But we're all nerds, and this is what this show is about, the nerd lifestyle. So we're going to talk about presents and mostly toys. So get off our backs.
That's right. Dang it.
Yeah. So shut up.
Shut up.
If you actually listen.
And if I don't think they don't have much of a voice right now. Now when they get to Twitter, and Facebook, you better watch out. But as of nobody
actually nobody voices their opinion on Twitter.
Not on the internet.
On the internet.
Never.
Come on. Oh, enough sarcasm. So I took to Instagram, and I have to say this because coming up this Thursday, I'm going to say this Thursday because they always come out a night before as far as movies go. There's always the quote-unquote midnight release that starts at about 7 o'clock on the day before.
Oh, yeah.
So Thursday is the release of Rogue One and a Star Wars tale. So I posted my my Christmas tree on Instagram, hoping that I would get some reactions out of it, and I just want everybody to see it. I have a Darth Vader tree. It has a cape. It has the Darth Vader mask for the star. And for ornaments, I took all these Star Wars toys that I had in storage, and I broke them out. And they're not the original Star Wars toys, as I have mentioned on here and on source material, Jesse's podcast. They're not the original, but they are still just as good, as I weep gently saying that. I took all the toys that were purchased for me to make up for the fact that my old ones were thrown away.
Dang it, Ronnie's mom.
Oh, if she actually listened to this, she would probably cry. But I used those for ornaments and decorated my tree. So I thought I did a darn good job.
It looked awesome to me.
So go on to Instagram, Screaming Boy Podcast, and leave me some love and see if you like it. And if you don't like it, you know what? There's really no reason to say anything because I am I'm easily hurt. My feelings are easily hurt. So, I don't give a crap what you think.
But, I'm gonna throw up a challenge here. For next year, Jess.
Yeah.
Punish your tree.
Punish your tree. Let me tell you, that one happens every Christmas for me. Stairs. Put it up. And then watch my kids. Okay, seriously. A few days, this is no joke. Last week, at some point, I can't remember what day, but Caleb comes running in the kitchen. He's like, I'm sorry. I said, What's going on? He's like, I was playing on a couch, and I heard him and Colton were playing in the living room for probably at least a good 10 minutes. You know, one of them's flip-flopping onto the ground because our house is not the sturdiest thing. When something heavy falls onto the ground, you're going to feel it in the kitchen. That's not going to be a problem if it's coming from the living room. So Caleb comes running in there. He had fallen off of the couch into the tree, okay? So I'm like, all right. Well, I go in there. Tree's still standing. All right, round of applause. All right, we did not knock the tree down. However, the bottom branches of this tree were bent so bad. We go fake tree, by the way. It's not a real tree.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because, boy, would I be griping then if it was a real tree. but the bottom branches of this tree were bent, like, in half and touching the ground. I'm like, man, I'm glad the couch is here. And wait until your mom sees this. But luckily, it didn't. She wasn't too upset. But, man, that's a Punisher tree right there for you. Just every day something going on. Colton's got some kind of an ornament running around with it, and Mindy's yelling, "Put that back on the tree!" And there were points, my friends, there were points in my life with kids where I've thought about not having a tree. And that really? I love Christmas, okay? But when you put something in a room that, I mean, just imagine, okay, all of a sudden you, like, what, 11 months out of the year, it's just a living room, you got your couch, you got your chair, you got your TV, and then for 1 month, maybe a little bit more than a month, you stick a large green object filled with all sorts of twinkling lights
and glass ornaments,
dangly little things that kids can grab a hold of. They're not just going to leave it alone, dude.
Well, no.
They're not going to leave it alone. So there were points where I was just like, when Caleb was crawling around on the ground and gnawing on the Christmas trees and stuff like that, I was like, you – and I mean, I've thought about the baby gate, like buying baby gates around it. But now I think I'm to the point – Colton's 3 years old, so – I don't have to really worry about him getting into it too much. It's just when they're jumping around on the couch and playing wrestling or something that,
right?
You know, body slam the tree or something.
But tree suplex.
It's like, it's meant to be standing, son. Leave it where it is at. Stop suplexing the tree.
Okay, so
it makes a beautiful foreign object to bring into the match.
So 5 years from now, a Punisher tree, then.
There you go. That'll be a challenge. I don't know how I'd go about doing that. Darth Vader tree, though, that's pretty easy. I mean, you shove a helmet on the top, and then you wrap a cape around and shove a sword down the branches.
You like a black
sword.
Lightsaber. Oh, my goodness. Did I say
– can't put a broadsword down. I mean, that's just silliness.
I hear you.
I like a black Christmas tree for a Punisher tree.
Well, that's what – I was going to spray paint this black, but I thought, no, I'll just leave it green. But I mean, what would you do? You mean you'd put the Punisher skull as a star?
Yeah. I don't know. It would have to go in the middle. It'd have to go in the middle.
Oh, I don't know, man. I mean, unless you have a Frank Castle mask, you'd put as the star. I would put the Punisher skull as the star. I mean, would you hang automatic weapons from it as ornaments?
Oh, that would be awesome.
Or bullets or what?
That would be great. That would be great. Now, I don't know. I think I would go, I mean, pretty much the way you went, if I could, all somewhat related Punisher action figures.
Yeah. All street level stuff.
There you go.
You could, I mean, it would be easier to do like a Marvel or a DC or just a comic book themed tree, though. I mean, because you've got plenty of comic book figures, you know, you could put on there or, you know, if you want to keep it in one company, I mean, because I know you've got a bunch of DC.
Just everywhere. It's coming out of the ears down here at the Starcher household. Nothing but DC.
I sent some sarcasm.
That's good. That's good.
I wasn't being sarcastic because you got a bunch of like DC figures in a toy auction.
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact,
I know your stuff better than you do.
You do. You do. Well, I hide them things away because, of course,
superpowers.
Superpowers toys. That's what they are. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. I do have, I have those, and I have the
Secret Wars.
Thank you. The Secret Wars figures So, yeah, good point. Very good point.
How is it we know more about his stuff than he does?
Well, it's kind of creepy, to be honest.
I know, right?
It's because I get them, I look at them, cherish them for 5 minutes, and I'm like, okay, kids, you're not playing with them, and go hide them away in a closet. Never to be seen again.
Hey, I will say this. I did save a few of those that were very complete.
What do you mean? The figures?
The Secret Wars, remember? Oh.
Did you really? You're talking about mine.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they're down here actually. I've kept them by my computer down here. The best looking Daredevil, and I don't know if you guys saw it or not, but Kapow.
On card?
No, it's not on the card. It's a loose figure, but it's in very good condition. I mean, Justin was pointing out some of the stuff, and every Daredevil figure that I've seen since then, I've recognized what you were talking about, Justin. How.
It's the paint.
Yeah, that paint. Yeah. The black paint comes right off.
Right off.
Mm-hmm. We got a Captain America down here and the Doc Ock with all the arms and stuff like that. But I don't know if you guys noticed or not, but I actually donated one of the Captain America figures, one of the many Captain America figures that I got, Secret Wars figures, which was I seriously had like five Captain America figures in that lot that I bought. But anyway, one's hanging out at the Kapow podcast now. So,
nice.
Yeah, like it's pretty cool. But anyway, one of these days I'll put together a theme tree. It just ain't happening anytime soon.
Right. No. I understand that.
Not when suplexes are happening under the tree.
Right. I'm able to do that. You know, when I have
your dog doesn't bother it.
No, he doesn't. He'll do it to get my attention, just because if I'm sitting here watching TV or eating or playing Xbox, he'll do it just to say, hey, I'm here. I'm going to be ornery. And I'll say, and all I have to do is say, leave it. And he runs away. And
I wish that worked here. Gosh, that would make my life so much easier.
Even we have to train him to understand the keyword, leave it. The keywords leave it means if you touch it, I'm going to beat you. and he recognizes that, so he runs away.
I'll say even Loki doesn't really mess with our tree that much.
I'm surprised, dude.
Yeah.
He doesn't even
Loki's your cat, it. Right?
Yeah.
Cats are usually pretty ornery.
Yeah, he doesn't climb up in it even.
Surprised.
So, but yeah, I'm really surprised at that. So, you know, I've got different, like on mine, I've got like Greedo and a couple stormtroopers, and I've got a speeder bike with the bike scout on it. And one of my prize possessions is a Han Solo in the gunner seat for the Millennium Falcon.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, it actually has the gun. He's sitting in the gun. And it has a little knob on the back. You twist it, and it shoots little plastic missiles out of it.
Don't get cocky, kid.
Yeah, don't get cocky, kid. I've got Dengar. I've got there's a sand trooper, and you know, ton of Luke and a couple of Leia, a couple of R2s, a Chewbacca. You know, Luke and his stormtrooper get up. The two aliens from the bar, from the cantina. Boba Fett is front and center, right behind him is Han in the carbonite. So
nice.
That's what right behind my Boba Fettish, man.
Yeah. What were you saying?
I was just going to comment about how proud I am. This past weekend, I turned on The Force Awakens, and I told Kira, I said, just give me 10 minutes. I said, you watch this with me for 10 minutes, and I want to see if you like it. Because when I turned it on, I got the, oh, the Star Wars stuff is stupid. Now, I know I've told you guys that I can't get my kids to watch. I couldn't get Caleb to watch any of the stuff. And Kira was pretty tough to get her to watch any of the older ones. But when I sat her down in front of Force Awakens, she watched probably, I would say, 70% of it. And then we had to stop it because we were doing something. I can't remember, making cookies or ornaments or something crazy like that. But right. She come out of there. I said, what did you think? I said, what do you think so far? And she kind of looked down and she did the whole, I think it's stupid. And I was like, yeah, whatever. She was wanting to finish it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm kind of happy that she's actually kind of digging the Star Wars stuff now, or at least Force Awakens, which it's a bit different, but hey.
Hey, you know, oh, my good friend and I, Van is actually like I said, a good friend of mine. He has his own YouTube account. And if you look up Van on YouTube, it's a lot of – it used to be bodybuilding and stuff like that, but it's Van Brah, V-A-N-N-B-R-A-H.
Brah.
And, Brah.
Is that his real last name or is that
– No.
Okay. Yeah. All right, because that's straight up Brah.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Van is awesome.
Good dude.
And he is, yeah, great guy. And dude's huge. He's ripped. But he, great guy, big Star Wars fan. He and I are going to go Thursday night to watch the opening, the opening of
Rogue One. Man.
So we will let you know how that is
when we go see it.
No spoilers. Spoiler free.
I bet. My guess is that they're going to get the plans for the Death Star.
You know, I don't know because
you don't know. I'm fairly certain that's the plot, isn't it?
Many Bothans died for that. For the plans. So,
did you guys happen to see the poster for the sequel to that leaked?
I can hear him. I can hear him snickering. So
yeah,
this is
a joke.
I don't know what's coming next. So.
It's the original Star Wars.
Oh, movie. That's right.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah,
I don't know how I didn't catch that.
I remember.
Oh, my word. But it's going to be amazing. So please, tune in because we will be talking about that soon. We've also got, I'm just going to go ahead and do plugs right now. We also have a live show coming up maybe Monday of next week. It's going to be our Christmas wish book episode where we're going to take a look at some of these old wish books that if you're not familiar with a wish book, then you have a horrible childhood.
I just want to, I'll probably bring this up on the cast, but I remember one of the oldest wish books I ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Justin, my cousin Mikey, okay. Well, he lives out in the country of Lowell, Ohio. All right. When I say the country, it's not a country, Lowell, but it's the country. It's out in the country. And near his property was an outhouse. Clearly not in use. They have indoor plumbing. But we were messing around one summer, and we went into that outhouse just looking around. And there were like piles of magazines, and one of them was a wish book from like the 50s. And it had stood the weather. Like, granted, it was falling apart, but there was some really neat old stuff to look in there. But that should be a fun cast. We do that do that there next Monday. That sounds like fun.
We'll be doing that, so it's going to be a lot of fun. The Great American Wish Book from Sears. So we can take a look at some of the stuff that we grew up with and why they don't do it anymore, that to my knowledge. I haven't seen one in years, but I used to, real quick, we used to go through and circle what I wanted. And then in hopes that Santa Claus would bring me those things, and sorely disappointed when I didn't get everything in the book that I circled. But anyway, so we're talking, huh?
I used to study that thing religiously.
Oh man, it was the best thing because like I wasn't just interested in the toys; I was interested in the staging that they did with like He-Man. Anyway, we'll go into that next, the next show. But this show that we are actually on air, we are going to talk about a couple of great Christmas gift ideas for gamers. And if you can get a hold of these, one of them is easier, much, much, much easier to get a hold of than the other. We will you're going to make someone's Christmas. But the first one up on deck is Retro is in. I don't care what it is. Retro is in. The Nintendo Classic. So they've taken 30 classic Nintendo games and put them on what I could only describe as an emulator and put them in a tiny version of the original Nintendo Entertainment System that looked like a toaster oven, and they're putting it on market for $59.99. So this thing blew up, and I don't mean that like it actually exploded like a Samsung phone. I mean, this thing was wildly popular. So this it's crazy to think about how popular this is. We're talking 8-bit graphics, two players. They did add a couple of things in, but you know, back in the day, you weren't able to save of some of these games. You had to start over from the beginning of the daggone level. So why put yourself through that torture again? But Jesse, why in the world would something like this be so popular? What's your take on that?
One of the things that I remember hearing that's always stuck with me, you guys know that I'm a pretty nostalgic guy. I know you guys are. I mean, we just sat here and talked about the Wish book. We talked about Star Wars figures. Nostalgia runs people's lives. Runs some people's lives. I mean, a lot of people out there may not have a nostalgic bone in their body, but I think that there is a good percentage of the, of the public, especially gamers, that just, I mean, they yearn for something, simple. They yearn for something that will bring them back to their, to when they were a kid. And one of the things that easily pops into my mind is getting up that Christmas morning and wanting whatever video game that you could, you begged Santa for and hoping it was in there. For me, it was Mortal Kombat. And I was, I was probably 16, 17 years old at the time. maybe 14 or 15. But, that was my big thing. I can remember I wanted Mortal Kombat for the Sega Genesis. And when I got it for Christmas morning, there's a picture out there, may even be on Facebook, of me, with my excited face, as a teenager, getting that in my hands. So as for blowing up, that's the only thing that I could think of, is that it represented something that, spoke to a lot of people's childhood. We're talking 30 games on something that looks like came, straight from 1985, just a little tiny miniature version. It shrunk in that black hole that it got sucked into in order to come back into the future here. And listen to me go all time travel. But there it is. It's so cute. It's so cuddly. It's a little mini NES, and it's got these games. Plus, it's updated for our times. We got the HDMI on there. All that great stuff. So it's modified enough to where it satisfies that nostalgic gamer, and it has that potential to look good on your high definition TV screen. So that's why I think it's really become popular. And of course, there's the scarcity. When Cabbage Patch Dolls, when you look at Christmas crazes, okay, Justin, I know you could probably name a couple off the top of your head, but the first thing that comes to my mind when I was a kid was Cabbage Patch Dolls.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And the N64.
The N64. I was in college when Golden Age Dave got an N64 and brought it to college, and I was like, oh, my gosh, look at this thing. people were trampling over each other to try and get one of these so high in demand. And most likely there was way more Cabbage Patch Dolls than there are classic NESs right now. And the scarcity of an object around the holiday season is going to really bump up that demand for whatever that is. Because now, not only do you have like people that are the purists who would buy this, actually hook it up and play it. That would be like my half sister Alicia. She bought one, had it all pre-ordered. She owns it. That is the one person that I know has an NES Classic, and she's bought it for her kids so they could play it. And they still play it. So there's your purist. Okay. Then you have the person that buys it strictly to resell. Mm-hmm. And I almost wonder if there's as many people out there as there are actually purists who want to play the game. Because Ronnie Adams, if I gave you two NES Classics, I know for a fact you may play one, but I bet you my $1 I have that you're going to sell the other one. Because
I'm actually enough of a purist that I would give it to someone.
Oh, come on,
dude. I'm serious, dude.
Come
serious. On. Because there are people in my family and some of my friends who might not be able to get a hold of one that enjoyed the NES just as much as I did. I played Mario. I played Zelda. I played all that stuff on the original Nintendo. I played everything. Yeah, I even played Friday the 13th, the unwinnable game. I played a lot of different games on there. My sister played Mario Brothers. She played, I don't know what else she played. She played, several different games. She had some games that were on there. But it was a family gathering that we did Tetris and Dr. Mario. You know, we would all four of us, my mother, my father, my sister, and I would see who could get the high score. Mm-hmm. And then I would caught my mom and dad playing it, just on their own. Just every once in a while, they'd pop it on and say, hey, let's fire it up and play Tetris, and I would come through the house and be like, hey, you're playing my Nintendo. And
it's just a weird feeling, like, to see your parents playing your own video game console.
I would actually give it away. I wouldn't try to sell it. If they had one, I would, if it all, resources were exhausted, I'd slap that sucker on eBay so fast it'd make your head spin. But dude,
when you pay $60, if you're paying $60 retail, and I'll tell you right now, Golden Age Dave, he's usually staying in touch with me, about some things like, especially things like eBay, because me and him are big flippers when it comes to eBay. We're going to try and get something and turn around and flip it. The NES Classic initially was pulling close to $1,000 when it released on eBay. Jeez. Now, that's no joke. You can go back and look at completed listings for when the thing first released, and you can see completed listings for near $1,000, if not over. And then what he said he had saw is that gradually, as the day went on, things started to, people, I think, started getting in their right mind and thinking, oh, well, geez, what am I doing? This is a $60 item, paying over 10 times what it's, what you could buy it originally for. But because of the scarcity and demand, it was driving those prices insane. But at some point, things started to level out to where they were, right now, if you wanted to, you could probably purchase one on eBay between $200 and $300.
I saw one on for $199.99.
Okay, was that buy it now or was that starting auction price?
I think it was buy it now. I'm not sure.
Okay, so $200.
I can't remember
that.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. It's $59.99. And I've, it's just, that makes me so angry that people are selling these for $1,000.
It makes me angry that people are buying them for $1,000.
Yeah. Well,
who it's has that, time that of money?
It's that time of year that people are stupid. That their kid wants
day.
Something. Yeah, well, yeah. But they're extra stupid this time of year because it's just goes back to the Cabbage Patch thing. And I'm sorry, Justin, we'll get to you in just a second. They'll pay $400 for a doll or $1,000 for a piece of plastic that has 8-bit games on it because their kid really wants it. When the retail value of those things are like $30 or $60. And it's the same thing with these phones, smartphones, cell phones. People are paying thousands of dollars for iPhones when it probably costs about $15 to make.
Yeah.
But, you know, but that's a retail price, you know. But I'm not even going to go into how much it may cost to make, you know, a Nintendo Classic. But, you know, you get on there and people take advantage of the supply and demand, and they jack the prices up, which is ridiculous. But, it's that time of year. Justin, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say that that's the one system I can actually remember my pap actually playing.
Yeah.
He would actually play Duck Hunt all the time on it. And I mean, he would totally own it.
Listen, my dad is a truck driver. I never thought I would ever see him playing a video game in my entire life. Okay. Yeah. My dad and video games, it's like oil and water, oil and vinegar, I think go together.
They do.
I've been to Subway. So it was 90, it's probably like 96, 97. I went over to his house one weekend and they were playing Dr. Mario, him and his wife, both.
Mm-hmm.
And no prompting for me, not like, hey, Dad, you want to play Dr. Mario? This is them actually having a Nintendo and wanting to play it. And I was absolutely just stunned. So, you know, it's funny. Just like I said, it's another example of it's your parents playing your video game console. It's just out there.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing about this is like we have 30 games on this one game console, I guess you could call it. It doesn't take actual game cartridges or anything like that, but I guess you could still call it a console. It is in itself a video game, by itself. But you know, it has the HDMI cord. It has three different settings that you can actually look at it on the TV on. You have the classic, you know, with the flat lines in it and all that good stuff that you used to see in the 80s. From the original Nintendo, like the old, it makes it look like an old TV, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You have 0.3 ratio, and then you have a newer, you know, crisp. You can see every pixel in it. As Adam says, scan lines. Adam, you're in here now. Adam has joined us in studio. Hello, Adam.
Hey. Hey, fellas, how's it going?
Hey,
pretty good.
It's going good.
Let's take a look at the games that it has on there. So it of course has Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers 3, The Legend of Zelda, Donkey Kong, Mega Man 2,
the best one,
Pac-Man, Final Fantasy, Metroid, Kirby's Adventure, which I don't think should be on there, Castlevania.
Why not?
I don't like Kirby.
Really? Because Super Kirby is it Super Kirby? The one for Super Nintendo is way better.
Castlevania.
I can agree.
Yeah, man, I'm like not on fire at all tonight, man. Nobody cares anything. Hey,
oh, shut up.
Silence.
Hey, we said hello to you.
I'll just sit back here and pout. Never mind.
Okay. All right. Ninja and how do you say? I always said Ninja Gaiden when I was growing up, but everybody's like Ninja Gaiden.
Gaiden, yeah. We'll forgive you.
Yeah. Super Mario Brothers 2, Dr. Mario, Punch Out featuring Mr. Dream, Balloon Fight.
No, Mike Tyson.
Yeah. Donkey Kong Jr., Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link,
Electric
Excite Bike. Electric Boogaloo. Zelda 2, Electric Boogaloo. Ice Climber, Kid Icarus, Double Dragon 2, The Revenge, Bubble Bobble, Tecmo Bowl, Castlevania 2, Simon's Quest, Mario Brothers, the original Mario Brothers, not Super. Super
Mario Brothers, that looks like the original Donkey Kong, kind of, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like Smash Brothers, I think is what it
yeah.
is.
Okay. Super C, Galaga, Star Tropics, Ghosts and Goblins, and Gradius. Okay, I'm ticked off right now because Super C is on here, but Contra is not.
You read my mind, Ronnie.
And Mega Man 2 is on here, but Mega Man is not.
I agree with Justin that Mega Man 2 is the best one. I think that was actually the first ever Nintendo game I actually purchased.
That was mine.
Yeah.
I actually beat, too.
You could get rid of, let's see. You could get rid of Kirby's Adventure, definitely, in my opinion.
There's actually a lot of games in there you can get rid of.
Get rid of Castlevania
2. You can get rid of Castlevania 2. Can't get rid of Castlevania because it was awesome.
Castlevania 2 was lame.
Yeah, so you get rid of those two, and you put in Double Dragon, and then you put in
the rest of the Mega Man games.
Mega Man 1. Mega Man 1 and Contra. And you get rid of Double Dragon 2, The Revenge, and just put Double Dragon in because they don't have Double Dragon in there.
Yeah.
It's got Double Dragon 2.
2 was good, though.
2 was good, yes, but I want Double Dragon in there. That was, you know, I stood in line to play that at the Chapmanville Bowling Alley when it came out on the arcade. I stood in line, and one kid actually stole my quarter because I was next, and he just grabbed it and put it in.
Oh.
And I almost, that almost led to a fight. I was, I can't remember how old I was, but I was not, not a fighter when I was that kid. I was, I was the nerd. When he stole my quarter, it was on. So, you've got, but needless to say, we can say, oh, they need to, blah, blah, blah. They need to get, they've got a bunch of amazing games on there.
Bunch?
30. Yeah. I mean, okay. I don't care if you like them or not, but you play these games like Star Tropics, or even if you play,
They're good, but I just really wouldn't use the word a bunch.
Well, 30 games. I mean, right now for my Xbox One, I have maybe like 3. That's a bunch to me.
And, if you do the division, not counting the, the system itself and core or the and the controller.
Yeah,
you're looking at $2 a game. So
and that's a steal too.
For classic games. Yeah,
absolutely.
I can agree with that.
So there's no way. I mean, they're charging for the games and the controllers because there's no way they can charge that much for what the games are actually on. Because that's where I'm going. Because all these games on there, Excitebike, Donkey Kong, all this stuff. I love that stuff, and I'd be excited to play it. But the console itself, the actual thing, fits in your hand. Mm-hmm. It's small. But when you crack that sucker open, about an eighth of that space is used.
Really?
Yes. It is something the size of – it's smaller than a cell phone.
The size of a credit card.
Yeah, it's the size of a credit card. That is what is running on your TV.
Man.
It's an emulator. That's all it is. Because I know guys, and one of them is sitting in studio with us right now, Adam, that can create this stuff. With more games, you buy a flat screen TV, and you could actually build a whole game. A game console, a game. What's the word I'm looking for?
Like an arcade cabinet.
Yeah, a cabinet. You could build a cabinet around it and have an actual arcade game. So they've taken this little piece of computer, like a little computer. They've stuck it in there and you supply the TV and they're selling it for $60. So they've taken the idea of the emulator, which people were downloading on their computers for free. And they said, no, you don't get these games for free anymore. We're charging $60 for it. Brilliant. It is a brilliant idea. And I wish I had thought of it.
What's funny is, I've literally ran the Nintendo emulator, the Super Nintendo emulator, and the Genesis emulator all off of a memory stick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the complete libraries of games for all, each one.
Yeah. I literally downloaded an emulator onto an Android cell phone and had access to the entire game catalog of Nintendo and Super Nintendo. At my church's youth facility, in their youth in our youth building there, we have a cabinet that's a sit down. You know, you look down on the table. It's a video game table cabinet, which we have 1942. We have probably 700 games on there.
Oh wow!
Where did you get that, by the way?
He bought it online.
I'm gonna have to ask him where he got it, because that's exactly what I want. I would love to have a cocktail.
Yeah. I think like that. Classic Plastics. Justin, have you seen? Is it Classic Plastics that has that, or at least somewhere around there? I swear showed something exactly like you're talking about there, Ronnie. Where it's the old classic sit down two player.
Mm-hmm. I believe it is Classic Plastics.
One on one side of the table, one on side of the other side.
It's like Pac-Man.
Used to see that in the Pizza Hut down here in Marietta.
Dude, you used to see that in the Giovanni's in Chapmanville.
Yeah, they all have it, man. They all
and the Pizza Station.
And Pizza Hut had it too.
That's crazy.
I come from a small town named Chapmanville, West Virginia. And literally, you blink and you miss it. It's got one, it's main street. It's one strip of road, and we had three pizza joints.
Dang, dude.
Giovanni's and Pizza Hut. I just realized that. Three.
Turtle Power.
I know, right?
I'm really upset that they didn't include the Ninja Turtle game on.
I'm okay with it.
See, I'm not, man. Like, there are lots of games on that one that I wasn't a fan of. And like, what I ended up doing on mine is I built a little emulator. It's on a Raspberry Pi computer. It's a Linux based system. It's the size of a credit card. I've got like 1,300 games on it, and I go back and I play these games like Ninja Turtles. The original Ninja Turtles sucked horribly. I played the crap out of it, but it was awful. But the arcade game, that's still freaking playable.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's awesome. I love that thing. And I think I played that today, actually, you know.
I actually recently introduced Jesse to emulators on his computer.
Yeah, I'd known about it for a while, but Justin came over and showed me a few good websites that – I mean, way easier. Back in the day when I did emulation, which was the early 2000s, I would say, that was when I was figuring out, you know, got the ins and outs, and I downloaded a whole torrent library of all the, you know, all the emulation games and stuff like that. Well, I'd not gotten back into that other than Justin actually got me a Christmas present of a modded Xbox. How long ago was that, Justin? Wow. Like freaking...
Those are fun.
That was more than 5 years ago.
It was
a good ways back, but that had what? That had Super Nintendo on there. That had regular Nintendo. Genesis. And some Atari games maybe, if I remember right.
I think it had a MAME on there as well.
So
yeah, man, that's where the money is right there. The MAME emulators.
So I was familiar with it, but Justin comes over and shows me like this website where, what was the name of the website, Justin?
Oh shoot,
it was real simple. I mean, anybody could do it. They didn't. You just go there and search, and then you would find the game, and boom, have it in like 2 seconds. And then you would. There was another website I found that just shared straight emulators.
MU Paradise,
and then you could go find an emulator off of a website that hosted nothing. It didn't do it. It didn't play or didn't have any games on the website. It was nothing but emulators. But anyway, so it was just so neat because I pulled it right up and within 5 minutes was able to play the game on my computer with my Xbox controller.
Yeah. That's so, what I was going to ask.
Which that happened that night. Justin had come over. It was the first time I ever used my Xbox controller to play a game. And what did I play, Justin?
Back to the Future.
Super Back to the Future.
Well, I mean, it all comes down to, oh my goodness, these guys that are building these cabinets, I want to go back to that for a second. Yeah, they're charging $500, $600, $700 for them, which is fine because they've put the work into it. They buy the flat screen TVs or they buy the TVs, the screens and everything. They build the cabinet around it. They program it or they get somebody to program it. And so they put the work into it. So they need to be paid for their labor and their time.
Absolutely.
So we're looking at something that's mass produced. When you pop it open, it literally, there's pictures of it online. You can see it. You know, I think a friend of Adam sent him a picture of one, and we take a look at it, and then you pop it open, and like I said, an eighth of that space is being used. So we've got this mass produced piece of plastic that they're charging $60 for, which is not a horrible price at all. It's actually a really good price. That's, you're getting 30 games for the price of one Xbox One game or one PS4 game. So that's not a bad price at all. But the insanity that comes with the Christmas, you know, that takes over people's mind, that it shouldn't come with Christmas season, but does come with the Christmas season, is forcing people, not forcing, they're doing this of their own free will, of their insanity, to pay $1,000 for something that costs $2 to make. $1,000.
I just don't understand. Do any of you have any inkling as to why Nintendo would underproduce such a demanded product? Now, this thing has been...
Yes, because of supply and demand, because they will release more of them closer to Christmas, and they'll make more money because They have the same
strategy.
Strategy. Yes. Thank you. Gosh.
I mean,
it's that energy drink I drank, and I can't think of anything.
I mean, look, Nintendo has done it in the past too. I mean, they've done it with the N64. They've done it with the Wii. I mean,
Nintendo has a track record of just making people mad around Christmas season.
And yeah, it's almost like they take pride in treating their customers like crap.
Yeah, we put Nintendo up on a pedestal. So many people do.
I don't know who puts Nintendo up on a pedestal anymore.
Well, they're out there, dude. They're out there, and I think Nintendo has this glorified image of themselves that they think, well, we can do this every time to the video game playing public, and no one will, because that's what we've done in the past, and they love us for it.
Right. Well, they're not even the originator. If you look back on it, it would be Atari, you know, and then after
64,
Commodore 64. But Nintendo made it. They're the first ones that were open to every household, you know. Commodore 64 and Atari, they were probably a little more expensive when you think about it. I can't remember the pricing, but the Nintendo Entertainment System was $100. And, you know, it was $99.99. You got access to all these different games. You brought it in. You got the gun. You got Duck Hunt and Super Mario Brothers with it. So they were in more households than Atari and Commodore 64 and different games like that. I remember that computer games were few and far between back then. So they weren't the originator, but they were definitely the king for a while. Mm-hmm. And then, like you said, they tick off their customers, and they have this strategy. Like I said, Apple has the same strategy, but not as not as harsh as Nintendo. But if you look at Apple, every year they released a new phone, and they released tons of the ones that people are like, okay, that's cool, but I really want, the 7 is great, but I really want that 7 Plus in this color, and I want it in the biggest memory size. And that's the one they said, oh, we made 3 of them. You know, and you're like, you know, I think it was the jet black this year. They released a new color, and all it is shiny black. People went nuts over it. So they're like, let's make about 15 of them, then say, we got to pull it back a little bit. We're gonna dangle that carrot out in front of you, but then we're gonna pull it back. And the jet black only comes in 128 and 256 gig. They don't come in a 32 gig, and we're gonna send you. You know, we're going to send stores about 400,000 of these 32 gigs in every other color, and nobody wants a 32 gig.
Adam, are you still with us here? I notice he's muted.
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. I want to know, you said you've built something very similar to this before, right?
Yes.
How?
Yes, I'm looking at it right now, actually.
Okay. How long did it take you to build that?
Okay, so you got to do it in a couple different steps. The first one is you got to download an image. The image took about a minute and a half. Then you have to format a card, which takes about another minute. Then you got to burn it, and that takes probably 5 minutes. Then you got to boot it up, maybe 5 minutes. So we're about 5, 10, 12 minutes. And then once you start loading your ROMs on there, you know, and you can load whatever you want. You know, if you know what you want, and you grab like, you know, let's say you get just the three Marios, transferring it over your network.
Yeah.
A couple of seconds. So I'm probably saying I'm up and running in 15 minutes.
Okay. And it took you how long to actually build it? I mean, you're saying it took you 15 minutes to build something like this, put something, because I imagine you had to grab the, I assume you're talking about a Raspberry Pi here.
Yeah, I got the Raspberry Pi 3. And what that is that's got this. And if anybody's thinking about doing this, you got there's two things you've got to actually consider. First off, get the Raspberry Pi 3 because it has built-in Bluetooth and built-in Wi-Fi, and you can connect any controller to it. Anything that uses Bluetooth, you can connect it to it, and it's wireless. Run wires to it or anything. Second, it is you run into some legal issues with ROMs, so. You know, I'm not going to tell you, hey, yeah, go here and download it.
Yeah.
I will say that they are available on the internet, so go find them.
So the only issue I've ever run into was the Sega Saturn.
Yeah.
Pain in the butt.
Well, the thing is because the Sega Saturn, the Dreamcast, and Nintendo 64 are very, very hard to emulate because the way that the graphics are actually rendered, because the graphics are rendered at 64 bits a second rather than 8 or 16 like Nintendo
Sega, Genesis and Super Nintendo.
Yeah, like your TurboGrafx. Neo Geo is really easy, but those three, Dreamcast is daggone near impossible to actually emulate with a Raspberry Pi. Now, if you use your computer, yeah, you can do that. You can go and you can grab like Wii games even or regular Nintendo 64. But the problem with most of those, though, those newer machines like the PlayStation 2, you actually have to emulate the BIOS of the machine as well, which kind of sucks.
Yeah, we learned a little bit about that.
Yeah, with the Sega Saturn, you actually have to run Daemon tools.
Exactly, you have to trick your computer into thinking that
there's a disk there.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
Well, my main point is that if you can create a Raspberry Pi, you yourself, maybe let's just say it takes you, I don't know, 5 or 6 hours of time to get the Raspberry Pi, put it in a little thingy-ma-bob, and then, you know, get you a controller, put all the ROMs, do all the software. How is something like the NES Classic that hard to make and have a easy, you know, 200,000 units ready to go? Doesn't make sense to me.
Answer that question, and this is why. And this is just my opinion, but I've thought that through because I'm like, you know what? If I had 5 hours, let's say 5 or 6 hours to build whatever I wanted, I could build something that blows the classic out of the water.
Yeah,
it would be no contest. So. For me, it'd be two reasons. First, the nostalgia factor. You know, you get a really cool old Nintendo. You're buying an old Nintendo. It kind of brings back that whole thing. It's like, I now know what my parents felt like when they bought mine. The second one is legal purposes. They own the actual product. They own those games. So when you buy them, you're not going to get in trouble. You're not gonna have, you know, and nobody's really going to raid your house over a ROM. I don't think anyway. I haven't heard anybody. I'm not going to say that, but I haven't heard of anybody doing that. But it's like the difference between downloading a song from like Napster, or is Napster still a thing? Is BearShare still a thing? I don't know, but I'm curious.
Napster is.
Oh my gosh!
But you know, downloading music off the internet versus buying it from iTunes. You know, you can get it from both places, but which one are you more comfortable doing? You want to buy it from Nintendo? $60 for it, and you can't do anything else with it. That's another thing. It's you can't expand anything on it, and there's no way you're going to be able to get in any more new games.
Yeah, I see. I just
limited to those 30, and to me, it's not worth it.
I just don't understand how they could sit there and this is Nintendo doing this to people. This is not like I don't foresee any barriers for them to create this thing and have a ton of units ready to supply to satisfy supply and demand.
But the thing about it is, that's just it. They can do this, and they can stamp it out in no time.
Yeah,
but they're not going to, because that does not create a demand. If you have the supply, there's no demand for it, and it won't be a hot commodity. So if you have something that is not available, readily available, you create a demand for it, and people want it. News stations take on the story, articles written about it. People are getting ticked off about it. They are going for $1,000 on eBay or whatever. So they're like, I'm just going to wait till it goes back out in stores. And, you know, even my mom was like, I tried to get one for you for Christmas, but I couldn't find one at a store. I'm like, Mom, you don't have to give me one of these for Christmas. This is not, you know, I'm an adult. And in my head, my nerd part of me is screaming, make her get one, make her get one. But it's, But no, I mean, like,
you threw those Star Wars figures. You owe me.
You owe me, woman. You owe me. No, but you can. I mean, I can wait until February, March, April, whatever, and just go pick one up at Walmart one day. To say, oh, hey, there they are. Bam, $60. No big deal.
Yeah.
But you are they're brilliant, because around the holiday season, around Christmas season, they're creating a demand for these by not having supply of them. I love the old video games. We all four of us love the retro video games, and we will sit and play Dr. Mario, or we will sit and play Super C or Double Dragon 2 or I will play Castlevania forever. We'll do that. But the thing about with me is I am not in a rush to get one that bad, but people, you know, this time of year, you know, I want what daddy and mommy used to play. I want to go back to my childhood. So I need one of these. I need it, need it, need it, need it. So they're like, oh, you need it now. Stop making them. You know, Jim, that's brilliant. You are, you know, stop making them so people will talk about it.
Jim Nakamura.
Yeah, I don't know. I just made a name up. So, you know, while these games are awesome and I love to have one, I mean, I don't need one. I don't want one that bad. But I get it, man. 'Tis the season, you know, unfortunately. But, you know, we look at it. Are they worth $60? Absolutely. 30 games, $2 a game. You know, you get the controllers. You get the feel of the old Nintendo. You get to relive your childhood, or you get to experience what used to be in the 80s. To me, it's worth the $60. It's not worth a grand, you know, what they're going for on eBay, you know, $200 or whatever. They're worth the $60, absolutely. I would love to have one, but it's not that big a deal. But as far as it goes, it's a brilliant idea. You know, you take the emulator, you put it in a little piece of plastic, and you say, here you go. Play all the stuff from your childhood. You know, so to me, it's worth the money. Jesse, is it worth it to you?
We haven't even touched on it. I'm not going to go into anything else, but I just want to say that the cord length on this thing is probably the deal breaker for me.
That's exactly.
I forgot about that.
I will tell you that if you want to try and sell me a product for $60, okay, and it's supposed to hook up to my TV that I have sitting 5 feet above the floor. That's sitting 5 feet above the floor. The cord that's going to the controller in my hand better be able to reach to the lazy boy that I'm sitting in.
It's about a 6-inch cord, isn't it?
It's
2 feet.
It's 2 foot long, which is
a terrible attempt at a joke on my part.
Well, I get it. It's short. It's really, there's I don't need, are you going to sell? There's no sense in why they could not make a wireless controller.
Hold on. Everybody buckle up. Pawpaw Starch is coming out.
I was going to say, he's very, very passionate about this.
Pawpaw Starch.
It is the stupidest thing.
Rightfully so.
Why why would, if you're R&D for this team and you're saying, okay, we're doing the NES Classic, $60. Well, we could spring for the wireless controller and do another $10 on top of what we got. Yeah.
Well, the wireless controllers, there's one out there that are freaking awesome. They're Bluetooth wireless controllers, and they look exactly like the old school Nintendo controller, but they've kind of fused a bunch of different ones together and made it awesome. So you have this controller that looks like an old school Nintendo controller, but it's got like shoulder buttons on the top, and it has two thumb joysticks plus a directional pad and like four buttons that you like thumb buttons you can hit. It's awesome, and they're like $40, and they're Bluetooth.
Does it go to this?
Use it with that, and you can use it with Xbox 360. You can use it with your Wii, and it's awesome.
You can use it with the Nintendo Classic.
Yes, you can.
They have said that you can do wireless controllers with the NES Classic. Mm-hmm. But you have to purchase those. In addition, you give somebody a freaking 2-foot cord controller with the system, there's no sense why it should not be packaged with an official wireless. What year is it?
hold on, Papa Starts. Let me get my calendar out.
It's 2016. When was the last time that you bought a game system that had a controller hooked up with a wire that you had to play the system with out the box? Okay. All that was PlayStation 2.
Right. All I can say is, back to future reference here, you play with your hands.
I know. That's like a baby's toy.
that was actually Elijah Wood that said that.
That's right. That's right.
So, and Back to the Future too. So I get my nerd points for
the which evening. By the way, Wild Gunman, not ever in an arcade cabinet.
No, never. Yeah, that's true.
That's right.
So they're not even accurate.
Shut up. That's not what we're going for here.
Here's the thing for me, though. Like I think all four of us are purists when it comes to Nintendo. Because we were there, man. Like,
right,
We were there. You know, we know what it's like to shove a cartridge in there. We know what it's like to blow inside that cartridge when it
which did work. Nothing.
Yeah, and we know what it's like to have the long cord. We know what it's like. Our kids won't. So what we end up having to do is we have to settle for this piece of crap that they want to shove in our face and only give us, access to.
Let's be honest. It's not that big a piece of crap. It's just the cord length on it. So because I remember
got me all riled up. I'm sorry.
I know you need to calm down, Pawpaw Runyon. You've transferred your pawpawness.
We're sitting on the porch, rocking chairs. Me and Pawpaw Runyon.
Back in my day, cords were 6 feet long.
It's good to have land.
It's good to have land. But so
we just bring crap Dad says into this, huh?
I remember my sister having a sleepover when I was younger. So what else was there for me to do on a Friday night when there's a bunch of preteen girls like screaming and laughing and giggling? Was I played Nintendo in the TV room, in the living room, whatever you wanted to call it, TV room. We weren't allowed in the living room. So, cause that's where the good furniture was. I was in the TV room and I was sitting there and I was playing, the Nintendo, and I can't remember what game it was, but I was really into it. It might've been Contra. I don't remember, but it was something, and of course you can't save your game. You got to go back to all the way to the beginning. So this one girl who was trying to do something, trying to rile somebody up, just, trying to laugh, and she comes busting a gut running through the house, right? And I've got that 60-foot cord stretched across the, because I'm playing on the couch.
No.
She hits that cord, rips the controller out of my hand. It goes around her legs like a daggone bola, just poof, poof, poof. It was like Luke Skywalker going around in the snow speeder around the and it just circled around her legs, tied her up like a calf chased down in a rodeo, and she just hit like somebody chopped down a redwood, wham, right on the ground. And she gets up, she kicks the cords off, and she's like, ha, sorry, and takes off running, and I die on the game and have to start over from the beginning of the level.
Yeah,
I was like, you are never allowed to have people over again. My mom's like, you know, you're being a little dramatic right now. It's like, you don't know what I went through to get through this level. And she's like, all right, bedtime. I'm like, what the crap? Why am I in trouble? So, but no, seriously, that cord, I've never seen, I can't remember anything wrapping around that many times around somebody's legs.
Well, you ain't gonna have to worry about that with the NAS Classic. Okay.
No.
It might trip a person's big toe or something, but that's about it.
But, all right. So the NES Classic, let me put it this way, $60. Is it worth it, Jesse?
I want to say no, not right now.
No. Oh, wow. Okay. Justin, worth it or not?
I'm going to say no.
Wow.
I'm spoiled too much with the emulators, man.
Adam, worth it or not?
I think that it is worth it for people who cannot work with emulators. If you're wanting something that you want to, you kind of want the nostalgia factor, get it, show it to your kids. I would also spring for the wireless controllers. So yes, it would be worth it in that case. For me, no, I wouldn't. I'll probably never ever have one because I will 3D print my own.
There we go.
A Raspberry Pi in it. Use my wireless controllers, and then whatever system I want.
I'm still trying to figure out why you're putting Pi in it. You need to eat that sucker.
Because Pi is some of the best stuff on Earth. Pi is incredible.
Anyway,
making you hungry, Ronnie?
No, I just went for the cheap joke. But okay, so I think it's worth it because I'm thinking like everybody else out there. I'm not going to take time to build something, you know, and by the time I'm done, you know, building a cabinet or, you know, using someone as the 3D printer itself is like an $800 piece of equipment.
Yeah. Public libraries have them though.
Right. But you know, you gotta go, you pay $60 for that alone. So by the, you know, you have to. So by the time all that's said and done, I could have just went to Walmart and picked one up for $60, you know, and then I have to deal with the 2-foot cord, which is stupid, but I think it's worth it. You know, it's worth it. I don't think the controller's worth another $40, but that's, you know, another time for another story. You know, I think it's worth it. So, you know, case closed. I win. I'm right. No, I'm kidding.
Sure. I think it's a split decision, but it's whatever. I'm not keeping count or anything.
We have Contra. We have Mega Man. We have Double Dragon.
Dude, you're stuck with those 30 games for the rest of your life on that system. There's no upgrading. That's it. It's 2016.
They'll think of something, you know. They'll add on to it. You'll spend another.
I don't even think it connects to the internet, does it?
Here's the thing about the Classic Edition. In order to add games to it, you have to add another board. It's physically not possible to add any more games to it.
All right, just crush my dreams, Mr. Technical.
Adam, what's Nintendo's history about add-ons? I mean, I think we've seen this like many time in the past where Nintendo makes these, you know, places for add-ons, but they never go through with
never
this.
Use them.
Right. So let me just say that if they there's one redeeming factor that if they do if they do this, then it would be kind of cool. If they were to release the Classic Edition and then say, okay, this is what you need. You need this attachment. Games. And attachment was a Game Genie where you could like shove the Game Genie into the cartridge slot, and then you could put like different games into it and it would read those games. Then that would be kind of cool, but that's never going to happen because they have everything embedded on this stupid computer chip on this board that's the size of a quarter. You know, you're paying for an empty box with a
you just said it was worth it, so I don't want you to go back on your word.
I'm going back on my word. I'm just saying.
You totally are. You're getting ready to.
Nintendo historically
known you for 20 plus years, sir.
Well, it's like Nintendo's like, hey, we're going to give you this expansion slot, but we're not going to give you anything to put in it. You know? So if they were to give us a piece of like.
Kind of like the Dreamcast with that weird screen on the controller.
The way this thing is powered up.
Jesse's like, forget you guys. I'm going.
It's powered by USB cord on the back. So,
which is 5 volts.
Is there anything that could be done with that in order to update the system in any way?
I'm sure.
Well, the USB, but here's the problem. Your USB ports on your computers are only like 2 or 3 volts. That's why you can't charge an iPad with your USB port on your computer.
Okay.
So if you it probably took you 10 days.
That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. I did it.
I just want to quote Lucas from The Wizard on describing this.
Man, you are going really old school on us on that one.
Yes, I'm going to say exactly what he said about the Power Glove and how true it was.
Oh, that's awful.
It's so bad.
It is. Yeah.
Power Glove. Yeah,
you know. And
that's the way I describe this.
That would be kind of cool is if you get the classic version and like the Power Glove version of it, where you could like play it on the Power Glove. But the Power Glove was just awkward. Like, if you ever tried to play, have you ever tried to play it? Like,
all right. So the Power Glove is another show altogether. We could do a whole show on the Power Glove. So let's table that for now, because the Power Glove was a dumpster fire from beginning to end. It was an amazing concept. Yeah, the Wizard
hanging it out the window of your 1976 Firebird.
Wow, I mean, when that came out, the 1976 Firebird wasn't even that cool. But so Nintendo Classic. If you're right, you'll pick one up. If you're wrong, then you'll say it's not worth it. But Jesse, I'm kidding. Right now, I know Jesse's like, I hate you, Ronnie. But
Ronnie Adams.
No, I'm just saying, there's a 25% agreeable rate going on here.
So. Words are hard, buddy.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
math is harder.
Math is harder.
I was like 1 o'clock in the morning last night. That'll be fun.
So. I will say, think about it this way, though. If he tries to smack you with that cord, Ronnie, he won't be able to reach you.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. Bring it on. Bring it on. I'll just throw my wireless controller at you. Yeah. So, all right. With the Nintendo Classic, we've got two no's and one yes and one flip-flop back and forth. He's a yes if you don't know how to make your own, which is pretty much a no. So
we say everybody can do it.
Yeah. No, I'm saying, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, that would be bad. So it's pretty much a yes then. So not many people know how to do it.
Yes, it is a yes.
So, all right, two yeses. So we're going to move on real quick, and we're going to talk about another game that's out that everybody seems to love, and it's gotten, oh, man, it's gotten so much attention, and rightfully so, and that is Battlefield 1. You can pick this up on the Xbox One or the PS4, and I think the PC, too. So Battlefield 1, of course, going back, I mean, I remember back when it was Battlefield Vietnam. You could play it on your computer console. You could upload your own. I mean, let me put it this way. You could upload your own soundtrack to it. So it was something really special about flying over the fields of Vietnam in a helicopter, you know, and, of course, in the video game with Fortunate Son blaring through your computer speakers. So we go from Battlefield Vietnam to, Battlefield Bad Company and all these different battlefields. You know, the one before Battlefield 1 was Battlefield 4, I believe it was. Was that what we played all the time, Adam?
Yeah, well, yeah, Battlefield
4.
Is it 3 or 4?
Yeah.
Is it 3?
4, well, 4, 4. Yeah, 4 was Xbox One. So 3 was Xbox 360. So, right. You know, Battlefield has always, you know, kind of won over the fight, won in the fight against Call of Duty because of the realism of Battlefield. So Call of Duty has,
you can do a lot more with Battlefield, if I remember correctly, right?
Call of Duty has that, you know, everybody calls back to Call of Duty because, you know, it's always been there. I loved Modern Warfare. That's why I picked up this recent one, so I could get a copy of Modern Warfare with it. But Battlefield, there are tanks, airplanes, parachute. You know, you got to use, there's so much weaponry. There were, you know, blown up buildings, huge maps, all this stuff. So Battlefield has always been kind of, you know, not until the most recent one.
Horses, Zeppelins.
But you're getting ahead of me now. But but you've got all this, you know, technology and weaponry and you know, vehicles and things like that that are is readily available for you in Battlefield. So it's kind of always one out. And sorry.
Oh yeah. Nice.
I don't know what that was.
You throwing a pop bottle and you missed the trash can. Don't try and lie.
No, that was me throwing a pop bottle and missing my dog who's getting in no good. So
even worse.
I'm gonna be real honest. I'll be real honest. Knock it off. All right. So Battlefield 1. Okay. Battlefield 1, of course, is based on World War 1. And I will tell you this. I don't know much about World War 1, but the weaponry back then sucked. Sucked. But even with the weapons that suck, this game is an absolute masterpiece. And I'm not even joking. This is the best shooter that I have ever owned. Adam, give us your thoughts on it real quick.
This game, so historically, for me anyway, Battlefield has always been much more difficult because I am not good at first-person shooters. I'm serious. Like, I'm the guy who relies on like aim assist because I freak out when I'm trying to shoot somebody. I'm like, yeah, I have somebody in front of me. I'm going to shoot. Oh, man, they kill me. That happens every single time. But I enjoy playing them. This is one of those games where it's like everything about this game is historically accurate. So for me, that's really cool. And everybody is kind of handicapped because you have these crappy weapons. But in true Battlefield fashion, you're able to upgrade your weapons and to add different attachments on it. So I have this leg up on you know, people like me. You know, who I'm still stuck with the first, you know, running around shooting me with shotguns, which apparently is the flavor of gun that's very popular right around now because you can shoot him with one shot, Ronnie Adams.
Yeah.
No, but no, in all seriousness, this game is awesome. You know, like I find myself looking, like running around the board. And I don't really care if I don't see anybody, but it's like this game is beautiful. It looks so good, and I think it takes advantage of the hardware that's in the Xbox One to its advantage, and it makes it look so good. And everything about this game is just, and it's realistic too, you know. So like the sounds, like you hear these guys screaming, and it's like disturbing, alive, and like hey. we were talking about the charred bodies.
He takes such a good like, game. That's the most negative part about it. So you're burning alive. And Jesse's exactly. like, I don't want to play this.
It's scaring me.
No, there's a part in it where because they have flamethrowers. I mean, this is the reality of World War One.
Yeah.
This was and they even explain this in the game. They're like, this was the war to end all wars, but it ended nothing. And the game starts out saying, you know, you are the front lines and you are not expected to survive. They flat out tell you are not expected to survive this. You know, because these flamethrowers, they come out with these huge, and they're just everything that you would think about the horror of war is packed into this game. You know,
so
and it's incredible.
World War One was on, right on the cusp of like what 19? When was World War One? Yeah, somewhere it was in the 19 in the teens.
Yeah, people were born in the 1800s when they fought in this
right.
war.
And so you still you're. You're still on the cusp of the Wild West, you know, so you've still got a lot of six shooter guns. You've got the shotguns, you've got the bolt action rifles, you've got the single, yeah, you've got, you know, you've got bolt action rifles, you've got one shot rifles, things like that. So the weaponry wasn't advanced as you would find in a lot of your modern shooters like Battlefield or even Battlefield, the one that, you know, World War II. So machine guns were not as readily available as you'd find them in other video games and things like that. Now in this one, you do find them a lot. You've got your short magazine machine guns and things like that, but they were still using, you know, much guns you would think of as a Gatling gun, you know, with the crank on it, things like that. They were still using some. They referred to a couple of pistols, or one pistol in this, as a black powder pistol. So, I mean, you've got some old school weaponry in this, but you also have one of the most recognizable guns to date in this as the 1911, the 45 caliber semi-automatic pistol.
Can we just refer to the shotgun as the boomstick?
It is the boomstick. So you've got different, you know, you've got different classes, you've got different types of weaponry, you know, sniper, of course, you know, your assault, your medic, your, let's see, assault, medic, support, scout, which is your machine gunner, your scout, which is your sniper. So you've got all these different ways you can level up. Now in the single player game, from what I can tell, you die, you take on a persona of another person.
Yes.
It tells you your birth date and your death date, how old you, you know, it tells you how old you were, and it gives you a short blurb about it. And then you take on the persona of another person to finish that mission off. So one of your first missions is you have to escort a tank. You are in the tank. You have to make sure the tank makes it, you know, clear the way for the tank to make it through these part of a jungle. All the way through, you actually are a fighter pilot that is trying to take down Zeppelins. Each story is an actual story that could have happened in World War One. It's amazing stuff. To the cinematics are incredible. You're a fighter pilot in a biplane biplane, which, you know, had the time, the machine gun shots with the propeller. And you know, you have
as opposed to a straight plane,
a biplane.
Sorry, my bad.
Ooh, Jesse coming out there.
I've played Battlefield 3.
Wait, he's not right, and coming out, is he? I mean, what kind of conversation are we having here, people?
So anyway, you played Battlefield 3.
Jesse walks outside, sees a plane. He's like, bye, plane.
As opposed to the hello plane.
I have played Battlefield 3, and that is the extent of my. Well, was there an online Battlefield strictly online for the Xbox, or was that a different game?
Battlefield Bad Company was.
No, that wasn't it. It was. I want to say it was like Battlefield 1941, but that's not.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll have to look it up, but. I remember playing the crap out of that one. That was back in 2008, 2009. So, but man, this game sounds like it has really gone to a different level.
It really has. I mean, and just as Justin was saying, you can be on horseback, which you can either have a rifle or you can switch your weapons to a saber, and one saber swipe cuts your opponent down.
Sounds like Indiana Jones to me.
It's so cool.
Just the whole horses and Zeppelins and tanks. It's just Indiana Jones all over for me.
A little before Indiana Jones' time, but yeah, absolutely. One of the levels in the single player is you get to play as the second in command to Lawrence of Arabia. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So you've got, I mean, there's so many aspects of this game. You can fly the plane, you can ride the horse, you can be in the mini tank, you can, you have to heal your teammates, and there's one particular, you know, other than team deathmatch, I'm really fond of Rush. You have to rush to the opponent where they're guarding, and you have to set a bomb, and they have to guard that and deactivate the bomb, you know, defuse the bomb when you set it. So you have two, you know, site A and site B. You have to plant bombs on both of them, let them go off. And then it just goes on for four more, you know, three or four more different sites, you know, so two spots, two spots, two spots.
I'll tell you,
domination, you have conquest, you have all this stuff. This game has taken Battlefield to a brand new level. And I mean, it gets 5 stars out of 5. For me, I'm absolutely addicted to it right now. It's so good. Justin, what were you saying?
I was going to say, I was kind of like the Medal of Honor series also.
Yeah, very good series there. But I'm going to have to admit, Battlefield's got it beat.
No, Battlefield 1943. That's the one I was thinking of. Yeah. Came off of Xbox Live, and it was just completely multiplayer. Probably one of the largest multiplayer games I had played, because there was that had planes, that had your tanks, that had your, you know, you're running around trying to with your guns and all that good stuff. Anyway, that's the probably the one I played the most. I own Battlefield 3, which I had picked up from a yard sale and I think I paid like $5 for it. So it was real cheap. So I've played a good little bit of it, but not a whole, I don't think I've gone through and beat it. And I don't think I ever played it on live at all. I think it was after I moved the Xbox down here and it hasn't been hooked up to the internet for a while. So anyway, I would love to get my hands on a one, but, because it sounds like a lot of this stuff is just going insane.
Yeah. I mean, like, the one I was looking forward to, out of all these games that have come out, you know, recently, I mean, November is usually a huge game month. Mm-hmm. So there was, of course, Call of Duty, and there was Battlefield 1 and Titanfall 2 and a few others. You know, I was looking, you know, I wanted Titanfall 2. I wanted Watch Dogs 2. But when it came down to it, everybody started just raving about Battlefield 1. I was like, all right, so I've got some trade-ins. I've got some credit. I'm not going to have to pay for it. I didn't have to pay for, you know, through trade-ins and stuff like that. I didn't have to pay for, I didn't have to pay for Call of Duty either. So I'll just go pick up Battlefield 1. So I went and picked up Battlefield 1. It is, I would trade most of what I've got here game-wise to get this. I mean, because the last quote unquote battle, you know, something like Battlefield I played was Star Wars Battlefront. As big a Star Wars fan as I am, that game was absolute. It was garbage, hot garbage.
Really? Ouch.
It was not good, especially the multiplayer.
Well, that's all it was, is multiplayer. It was fun. Adam and I played it together and we actually live streamed it a couple of times.
I watched you guys.
Yeah, it was fun. But we had so much trouble getting into games together that it made it garbage. I mean, we get frustrated and turn something else off. Yeah.
Yeah, we'd play like Titanfall, like the original Titanfall.
Yeah, we would just say, screw this, let's play Titanfall. So, and which was still amazing. You know, I'd love to get Titanfall 2, so we'll see. But, and you know, Skyrim, they re-released Skyrim out, and I was so heavily addicted to Skyrim, so. But
It's remastered, right?
Remastered, yeah. Re-released Skyrim.
Everything look way better.
Yeah, so I bypassed all of those and picked up Battlefield 1, and that was a wise decision on my part. I made Adam get it, and that was a wise decision on my part as well. I mean, like, literally, I told him he had to get it. I mean, there was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I was like, if he came to me and said, I could only get one game for 10 years, I would be like, pick up Battlefield right now.
Usually we'll do that where it's like, hey, you know, I'm gonna get a new game, what should I get? Immediately he was like, Battlefield. And I was like, well, what about this? And he was like, don't question me, get Battlefield. So like, all right,
don't question. I didn't put it as roughly as that.
Yeah. Hey, Ronnie.
Yeah, I did. I said, don't question me. What was it, Justin?
Oh, I said, you want to plug your Twitch there?
Yeah. Adam and I both are on Twitch. I'm SBP Ronnie on Twitch. And then Adam is, what are you, Adam, on Twitch?
I think I'm Adam Runyon 1 or Adam Runyon. I can't remember off the top of my head. I'd have to go and check.
Yeah, I plug the show. He doesn't. But no, I'm kidding. Yeah, I'm kidding. And also, Justin is on Twitch as well.
Right? Yeah, I'm under Spectre 13, but
there we go.
As of now, I'm not really showing anything on there until I get a better PC and definitely a new console, next gen console.
Yeah, there we go. So, I mean, but you're on there. When we're on there, you talk to us and you hang out with us, so everybody can interact with you there. But yeah, Battlefield 1. Jesse, if you happen to get a one, an Xbox One, you got to pick up Battlefield, man. It's the one game that I would tell you immediately pick up because one of my buddies was telling me about another game. It was a zombie game called State of Decay. I did not realize that I had this game because I rented it from a Redbox and forgot to play it. And then, moved. And then I found it, and I was like, oh, hey, I must have bought this game and paid like $600 for it. Because that's what Redbox does. No, they didn't. They just stopped charging you after a bit. So, which was so stupid of me. I will never do that again. I don't rent from Redbox anymore because of that. So I was like, oh, I have State of Decay. I picked it up and I put it in. It is incredible. State of Decay 2 is coming out, so I would even bypass that to stay with Battlefield 1. Because State of Decay is such an in-depth Walking Dead kind of zombie game. You have to scavenge for supplies. You have to make sure everybody at your camp is happy. You have to move them to different space. You know, you have to, this camp is being overrun too much, so we have to move here. We have different, you know, it's an open world sandbox zombie game.
So like right up,
yeah, it's really right up my alley. I would bypass that to get to Battlefield 1 again. So Battlefield 1, please, you know, they had ridiculous Black Friday, you know, Walmart had it for $25.
Yeah, $25, man. You can't beat that for a brand
Best new Buy, game. Yeah, Best Buy had it for $30. GameStop, when I traded in, had it for $35. GameStop was always gouging people on prices. What? Who said that?
We have a liar in this room.
What? Who said that? He must have run out of here really quick. But so pick it up. Great game. 5 stars out of 5 stars. I think Adam agrees with me on that. So, yes, that is another wonderful addition to your gamer. The gamer in your life, you should pick him up a copy of that and the console to go with it.
Yeah, Ronnie, so, get me one.
I am the gamer in my life. I'm sorry.
What did I get myself this Christmas?
I got myself Battlefield 1. So, guys, I think we're going to call it a night on that one. So, I appreciate you, Jesse. I appreciate you, Justin. I appreciate you, Adam, for being on here for an hour and a half now. And all of the input that you had on the Nintendo Classic. So we're going to start with Justin, and we're going to say, hey, Justin, where can we find you out on the interwebs?
Well, pretty much I'm quite the gamer, so you pretty much can find me on Steam under Spectre 13. And then also you can find me under Spectre 13 on the PlayStation Network. And Arctic Lightning under Xbox Live, which... Don't even ask why I had that name, but it's a long story. Well, I'm not Spectre 13 on there, but anyway, so.
You know, you can always open up a new account.
Problem okay, is,
that was that. I guess it just went over like a fart in church, so.
I think I'd have laughed at both.
I mean, he pretty much loses all my achievements. But anyway, so...
that's true, yeah.
Yeah, basically, you guys can find me pretty much everywhere on the internet. I'm pretty much haunting the whole internet like a poltergeist. Facebook.
Like an invisible man?
Yes. Like an invisible man, I'm everywhere. But yet nowhere. But anyway, yep. So... You guys pretty much find me under Spec13 on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Imgur, you name it, I'm there.
Sweet.
I even pretty much sneak into the podcast.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, sneak into the Screen Boy, hang out with the guys, sneak in the to Source Material, hang out with those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just everywhere.
You got to look for the approving Deadpool picture. Thumbs up, Deadpool. Yep.
Big so. Thumbs up.
Jesse.
Hey.
My friend.
Yes, plug sir.
Plug your stuff.
All right. Jesse Starcher. I do a podcast. I do a podcast on the Rattlesnake Broadcasting Network. It is called Source Material. And we talk about comic books on there, some of the great and not so great comic books in the storybook, I don't want.
Somebody's a sleepy bear.
All right, we talk about comics, and we talk about some of the good, the great, and not so great comic book story arcs out there. Now, Ronnie Adams has been on the show quite a bit, so you can check out some of those shows. We just recently recorded one that dropped tonight. As a matter of fact, it was me and good Stephen Marsh talking about Predator yet again. Believe it or not, he's a big Predator fan. We talked Alien versus Predator 3 World War, and it was a pretty good 6-issue series. So if you guys get a chance, you got an hour to kill, check that out. It's over there on the Rattlesnake Broadcasting Network. You can find that Facebook page of theirs. Give it a like. You can stay up on top of all the great podcasts that we have to offer. We're on blogtalkradio.com. We're on Stitcher. We're on iTunes. We're also on TuneIn Radio. Upcoming in celebration of the Rogue One, a Star Wars story, a Star Wars tale, whatever it is there, that is, we're going to celebrate that on Source Material by discussing George Lucas's first draft of Star Wars, and it's a comic book adaptation called The Star Wars. The first draft I think was in 1974. So we had the opportunity, it was me, Ronnie, Justin, and Mark Radulich sat down. Boy, did we have a passionate you guys had a passionate discussion.
More like a rough draft.
Let me tell you, yeah, it was rough. We have, the way it's, I plan on doing it, is actually going to break it up into three parts. And literally the first part is Ronnie Adams and Mark Radulich going at it for a good 20 minutes. No, it's fun discussion. I'm all so around. Sorry. It was a fun discussion. Listen, man. That's what it's there. Star Wars fans are crazy anyway.
I love Mark, and he brings his A game on every show he's on. So, I mean, that was just to discuss stuff with him was great. So
yeah. So it's getting late. Easy. What do you think of that?
I had to bring up the machete order.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Boy, that set people off.
Yeah.
Woo-wee. So anyway, you can check that out. I think we're actually going to drop it in three parts. That's my plan anyway. So it was a lot of fun. That was another, that was an 8-issue series, I think. So it was a fun time. Check that out. And I don't think I have much else. If you want to follow me, you can do so at Stiznarchy. Source Material Podcast has a source,
has a Twitter?
Twitter. As a Twitter, what time is it? Like two? Is it two like in the 11, morning?
It's only like 11:30, man.
Wow, man.
Papaw Starch did not go back in the house after that.
Papaw Starch needs to eat some prunes and go nine nights.
You can also find him under Crap Dad Says.
Yes. He hasn't been active here, and I'm really surprised because the holiday season. Ooh, we
crap that Dad says.
Oh man, does it ever! But anyway, Source Material has a Twitter. It's at Source MattCast, so check that out. You get a chance. That's it. That's all my plugs.
Cool, Adam. What's going on in your? What are you doing?
I'm just sitting here listening to you guys. No, I'm kidding. You can find me on Twitter at AdamRunyon1, and I haven't been on there very. I haven't been on there very much because we've had the holidays and stuff, but I'll get back up on the horse and I'll and stuff again. The website, www.screenboy.com, and I think that's it. We have an Instagram that you can find us on, and that's it. That's about the only place you can find me on the internet.
All right, you can. We're everywhere. We're on, just like Adam said, we're on every piece of social media. You can just search Screaming Boy, find us on Facebook. We are on the Twitter at Screaming Boy PR, Instagram, Screaming Boy Podcast. You can find us right here on YouTube. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and the Radulich and Broadcasting Network, where you can find other great shows, as Jesse said, like Source Material, and a bunch of others, Metal Hammer of Doom, There's some new shows coming out, which I'm so super excited for. They're actually doing, as this releases, they're going to be doing Tuesday night on December 13th. They'll be doing the Three Flavors of Cornetto Trilogy, the Blood and Ice Cream Trilogy, you know, whatever you want to call it, the Cornetto Trilogy, which is Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and The World's End, which I am super pumped about. Those are three of my favorite movies ever.
Yeah.
So you can find us right there on the Radlish Broadcasting Network. That would be long. That's the last Long Road to Ruin.
Yeah, ever. That can't be ever. That's not ever. That's going to be put on the shelf. They'll bring it back.
Yeah.
You got to have hope.
That's the last Long Road to Ruin ever for now.
For now.
For now. It's not goodbye.
That's right.
It's see you later.
It's a we'll be back.
So they'll be back. And then that's pretty much all the places you can find us. So we appreciate you. Just go on iTunes or any one of these places. Give us a rating. Tell us tell us hi. Tell us that you love us because we want some attention.
Stalk us.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Whatever. We'll take what we can get. So with that. For Justin, for Jesse, for Adam, I am Ronnie. Thank you for listening. We are out of here. Merry Christmas.